If you would open your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1, we're going to begin in verse 13. We had done a review last Sunday of Peter and what he had said in verses 3 through verse 12. And what he did was he basically showed us what an amazing salvation we have in Christ. It is a great salvation. It's an amazing thing that God has done in us. And now what Peter does is based on that salvation, he now tells us that our response, there should be a response to what God has done by his grace. And so this week we're going to look at, hopefully maybe look at verses 13 through 21 and see what our response should be to God's great salvation. And the question is, how do we respond to the fact that God has saved us? And what I'd like to do as we start is just an introduction is let you know that I really believe there are two extremes in this view of how we should respond that actually neither one of these profit the believer. And the first one is this, the view that says God does everything. I don't do anything. And that sounds incredibly spiritual, but it's actually inaccurate. God does do everything for our salvation. He does bring all that is necessary for the grace to save us. But once we are saved, once we know the Lord Jesus Christ, we are called to act. We are called to make choices. We are called to do certain things, and no one else is going to do them for us, including God. God is going to call us to an obedience, and if we simply think God's going to do everything, all I have to do is just kind of wait around and the Lord will accomplish his will in me, you're going to be waiting a long time. And if you're his, what you're going to do is you're going to move from the category of someone who is saved by grace to someone who is being disciplined so that they begin walking in obedience. Now, the second extreme is this, and it's I do everything. Therefore, it's all upon me to get sanctified, and I need to just do everything I can to be sanctified. And by the way, this just leads to legalism. It leads to a sense of not only legalism, but also pride. You'll probably begin, rather than responding to a relationship with a living God, you'll probably start making lists because you're going to try to get more and more sanctified, however it is that you define that, because any definition of sanctification that does not come back to a person is going to be a very errant sanctification. Sanctification is not conforming to a list of rules. Sanctification is conforming to a person who resides within us, who is the Lord Jesus Christ, who resides in us by the power of the Holy Spirit. Sanctification, saints, is becoming more like Christ. And Christ dwells within us, and the way that you become more like Christ is you fix your eyes on him, you know him, you fellowship with him, and as you fellowship with him, as you know him, as you look at him, as you gaze upon him, you are transformed into that same image from glory to glory by his work within you. But again, remember, this is a both and, not an either or. Now, what's interesting is we need to see a balance, and it's seeing God's work and our work. God grants us the power through his gospel to be saved. But then as he saves us, there is this glorious thing that happens in that the Holy Spirit indwells us at the point of salvation. And Scripture says an earnest is given to us, a promise that God is going to do everything that he promised, he said he would do. But that earnest is experienced as we learn to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit and live out the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let me give you an idea here what I'm talking about. First, through the cross, what God has done is he has defeated sin and death. Through the cross, he has broken sin's power over us. The cross in the gospel paid the debt for our sins and effectively put sin to death. Sin's power is broken by God's work, and it is overcome through God's work of Jesus on the cross. But we have to believe that that work of the cross is true in us. Because if we live as if something else were true, and that is that we're still in bondage to sin, guess what we'll live out? We'll live out that we're still in bondage to sin. But Romans says that we should reckon that what Christ did on the cross in putting sin to death, also we are put to death. Therefore, we are no longer slaves to sin. We no longer have to follow sin's dictates. We no longer have to walk in lockstep with whatever sin tells us. But instead, as we die daily to ourselves, God allows his life to overcome, and it is his power through the cross that brings about that victory. Second, through the resurrection, God has given us power by which we can know new life. Through the resurrection of Jesus, we now have power to overcome sin. We have newness of life, we are reborn, and we are now alive to God through Jesus Christ. And we have overcoming power through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Again, you see the gospel, the death, the burial, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We live with those realities as the benchmarks, as the things that we hold fast to, as God has done his work in us, and yet we also believe those things, we walk out those things. And the third thing, by the way, lastly, is through the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, God has given us his indwelling power within us. This we have in a relationship with God, the Spirit, and since Father, Son, Holy Spirit are all one and they're all, you know, they're all together, he teaches us, he leads us, he empowers us for the fight daily over sin. In other words, it says, if you by the Spirit put to death the deeds of the body. Note, the power is there. By the cross, sin has been defeated. By the resurrection, life has been given to you. And yet, you are still called in relationship with God, the Holy Spirit, to put to death sin as it rises up in you. As the choice for sin comes to you, you by the Spirit of God, how do you do that by the Spirit of God? Well, what's the Spirit's sword? Anybody? The Word. So you take the Word. How did Jesus put to death three temptations that came his way? It is written. You take the sword of the Spirit, you put to death that temptation by seeing that it is the Word of God that is true, not the word that came to you, not the temptation that came to you, not what the world says, not what Satan says, not even what you yourself says or what somebody else says as they're trying to conform you, but what God says is what we are to conform to. So by the Spirit, you then put to death that sin and you experience God's grace. Now, I understand that in just like a couple of minutes, I'm trying to deal with the entire book of Romans, okay? But what I'm trying to do is to get you to see this. It is through the gospel and it is by the Spirit of God that we are to do these things. And we have a glorious salvation that God has given us. There is nothing lacking in our salvation. And yet, the same God who gives us this salvation does tell us there are some things I want you to do. And that means we are going to have to expend energy and we are going to have to set ourselves in certain directions and we are going to have to make certain choices. And saints, it means obedience to what God calls us to do. And that's what Peter gets into beginning in verse 13. So what is our response to God's salvation? Well, Peter gives us a threefold response in this passage. First, we are to respond by having a hope fixed on grace. Secondly, and I'll repeat these. Secondly, we are to respond by working from a holiness forged within us. And then third, we are to respond by walking in an honor focused on redemption's price. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 1 and read the passage this morning. It says, therefore, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance, but like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. If you address as Father the one who impartially judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves in fear during the time of your stay on earth, knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. For he was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but has appeared in these last times for the sake of you who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Long passage. But it breaks down to three basic things that Peter is saying. Now, in the construction of the Greek language, and that's where I kind of have to go to figure out what Peter's trying to say here at the beginning, Peter's focus is on a hope, okay? He tells us some things that lead to this hope, but the first thing Peter says is our response to salvation should be a hope fixed on grace. Okay? It says, therefore, prepare your minds for action, keep sober in spirit, fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And what he's got there is he says, therefore, and the therefore points back to God's glorious salvation. So he's saying, because God's given us a salvation, therefore we should respond in this way. And then he gives two phrases that actually point to the statement, fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you. So the first thing we see here is this. The focus of this passage is we ought to have our hope fixed on grace. It says, prepare your mind for action. Let me just go to that third phrase. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. He says, fix your hope. The word means to set it. It means to fix it. It means to anchor our hope. Now remember, you have two kinds of hope. You have hope like the world has. I hope I win Publishers Clearinghouse, but I have no confidence that I'm going to win it. I could actually try to make up some kind of confidence and say, I'm just going to win it. I'm going to win it. My positive thoughts are going to have them draw my name. But let me say this. That's based solely on somebody drawing out a name and going, you won. You don't know whether you won Publishers Clearinghouse until the truck drives down your street, somebody brings giant balloons, and a check that will never fit in your ATM.